chapter 4, verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us as we look into your word, help us to understand it. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be what you want us to be. We pray that as we look into your word this morning, our hearts would be challenged to share with the people with whom we come in contact the glorious gospel, the good news that you came to share with us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now notice, if you will, here in verse 43, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. And notice this, it says, for therefore am I sent. You go back over to Matthew chapter 4, if you want to turn there in Matthew chapter 4. And we see in verse 17, Jesus said, in verse 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching, here's what he preached, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And the fame, his fame, went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now, I want you to look, if you will, throughout the scriptures. We find when it says the gospel, the first time gospel is mentioned in the New Testament is here in Matthew chapter 4, when it says the gospel of the kingdom. And so therefore, when you read the word gospel in the New Testament, you always go back, if it doesn't clarify what gospel it is, you have to go back to the first mention of gospel in Matthew, and it's a gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of Christ, because that was the gospel that he preached. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why was it to the Jew first? Because at that particular time in history, Jesus had come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had come, and the kingdom of heaven was presented to the Jewish people. There were two phases of the kingdom of the earth and the kingdom of heaven. And the firstborn, which was Israel, Exodus chapter 2, It says God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, even my firstborn. The inheritance of the firstborn was a double portion of the father's goods. And the double portion of the Lord Jesus, God's inheritance, was a heavenly inheritance and an earthly inheritance. The Jews were given in Genesis chapter 12, they were given the earthly inheritance, and there was nothing that could take that away from them. It didn't matter how they lived, it was an unconditional promise. In the Bible, there are conditional promises and there are unconditional promises. This was an unconditional promise that God made to Abraham. Your kingdom will be on this earth and it will be for you, and nothing your ancestors can do, nothing that your children and grandchildren and all of those under you, there's not a thing they can do to take that away from you. I'm promising that to you, Abraham. I'm promising the kingdom of the earth to you forever and ever. And there's nothing that anyone after you can do that will take it away from you. Now then, there's the kingdom of heaven. There's the kingdom of earth. And by the way, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, it's talked about in Revelation chapter 19, the Jewish people are going to be living on this earth, and Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords during that time. And he is going to be using the Jewish people. He's going to use the 12 patriarchs. He's going to be using the apostles. Jesus himself said, when he was at the Passover supper, he said to them, I will not drink of this cup or eat of this vine until that day that I drink it and eat it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. This is the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the messianic kingdom, the kingdom when Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For 1,000 years, you and I will be living not on earth, we'll be living in heaven. The Jewish people will be living on the earth. And if you are faithful, and I am faithful, we will be able to enter the throne room in heaven, the second heaven where Satan is ruling from today. He's the prince of the power of the air over the earth. That second heaven is going to be cleaned out at the middle of the tribulation period, 3.5 years after we as Christians are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. For 3.5 years, there's going to be peace. There's going to be prosperity on this earth. One half of the world's population is going to be destroyed by famine, by war, by diseases, by any number of things. One half of the world's population will be gone. Satan will be kicked out at that point when he comes. The Antichrist is going to go in and sit on the throne of David, and he's going to say, I am God, worship me. The Jewish people are not going to accept that. And they are going to be scattered throughout the earth in all nations. And then Satan is going to be kicked out of the second heaven down to the earth. And at that point, Satan is going to unleash all of his demons and everything within his power to destroy and wipe off Israel from the face of the earth. There are already those in the world today that would like to see that happen. And they're not embarrassed to say it on public TV. They say it in the United Nations interviews in New York. They say it in other parts of the country. And when the UN met just a few months ago, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, walked in and nobody said anything. But the little guy from Iran walked in and they gave him a standing ovation, and he says, "The one, let's wipe Israel off of the face of the map." They gave him a standing ovation. This is God's firstborn. I know, and I have some very good friends that are Jewish. And the Jewish people are going to be on this earth. And you know what? Whether we like to admit it or not, in Scripture we're called heathens. Because God's chosen people are the Jewish people. And you know, most of the discoveries, most of the inventions, most of the good things that we have in life were either originated or supported by Jewish people. Isn't that interesting? God gave them something a little extra because they were his children. But during that 7-year tribulation period, after we're gone, the first 7 years after we are gone into heaven, John 14 says, "And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "Then we which are alive and remain should be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We'll be caught up to meet the Lord at that time. There's a coming a time, and it's soon. I don't know how soon, but we see the time approaching when things are happening in the Bible and on this earth that are working together. And Satan is going at the middle of the tribulation, that 3.5 years after we're gone. 3.5 years later, Satan is going to be kicked out of that second heaven where he's ruling from today. And God's going to send in his construction crew, and they're going to clean up that second heaven. Just like the earth was messed up and God restored it. Just like man sinned when Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God's been restoring this earth all this time. He did it with his blood, with the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so Satan is going to spend the last 3.5 years of what is called the tribulation period, and the last 3.5 years is called in the Bible the Great Tribulation. And during that last 3.5 years, he's going to do everything within his power to destroy and wipe off of the face of the earth every Jewish person alive. Just so happens that God has a special interest in the Jewish people, and he's going to protect them during that time. And at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus is going to come back. And this time he's going to come to the earth and put his feet on the earth, and he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now he is already the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's going to exercise that authority at that time. He's going to take the scepter, and he's going to be in charge at that time. There will be the great battle of Armageddon be fought in the Valley of Megiddo. Blood is going to be running as high as a horse's bridle. Millions of people are going to be in that little strip of land in that valley. And the battle's going to be fought. And then, 75 days later, all of those that have been killed and are out in the open, I would assume, will be buried, and the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus will take place. Now, less than half of the world's population will be alive at that time because of the chaos, because of the battle of Armageddon, because of the diseases that go with wounds and wars, and because of the lack of food that will be prevalent in that time. And then the Lord Jesus will set up his kingdom. And the Bible says when he said, I will not eat of the vine or drink of the vine or eat the bread until I eat it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That millennial kingdom will be set up for 1,000 years. And the patriarchs of Abraham, the apostles of the Lord Jesus, and the many Jewish, Old Testament Jewish people will be working on this earth to bring it back to the condition that it was in the Garden of Eden. Well, what about us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we are going to be in the second heaven for 3.5 years now. God's construction crew has been in. I don't think they're going to be putting sheetrock on the walls. I don't think they're going to be using metal studs. I mean, we did away with wood studs not long ago, quite a while ago. I guess I have to remember that I'm old now. But I remember taking wood studs, wood 2x4s, and standing them up. They're not really 4, they're only 3 3/4. But standing them up, and they still had squirrel prints on them. You say, what? Yeah. Sometimes we would buy lumber and we would stick them up, and the next morning we would come in, they would be kind of wobbling around because they sold us green 2x4s. And they would be starting to dry out and take a different form and twist it around. We'd have to knock them out and put a new one in. We wanted dry 2x4s. Pressure treated, depending on where we were doing. And then they came up and they decided, we don't need the metal studs any longer, or the wood studs. We've got metal. So now you have to trade in your hammer and your nails, and you have to get your screw gun and screws and bzz, 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 and put the sheetrock on. Well, they're not going to do that. the construction crew that God has, man, they're going to make that place something else. And the first thing that's going to happen during that 7 years, you and me, here's what's going to happen to us. If we have applied the blood of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God over our heart's door by faith, just like the children of Israel did in Egypt on that night that God said, when I pass by, when I pass over, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Moses told them, you go get a lamb out of the flock and you save the blood in a basin. And you take a hyssop bush and put it over the door lintel and down the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. Now by faith we realize that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission of sin. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He died on the cross, on Calvary's cross, and shed His blood for us. By faith, we accept Him as our Savior. We accept His shed blood as payment for our sin. And all of us that have accepted the blood of Jesus by faith, we're going to go to heaven. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're going to be there and we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And there be. Christians that are going to be weeping and wailing. Why? Because their works are going to be burned. And they're going to have nothing to lay at the feet of Jesus. You ever gone to a birthday party and not had a gift? And all of a sudden everybody comes in and everybody's got a gift. And it said on the invitation, please no gifts. But nobody listened except me. I didn't have any money anyway. And so, I didn't even have a rubber nickel, let alone a silver nickel. And at the judgment seat of Christ, our works are going to be tried in fire. And there will be some works that are like gold, and there will be some like silver, and there will be some like precious stone, and then there will be a lot like wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned up, and it will only be ashes. And those with gold and silver and precious stone, we can cast them at the feet of Jesus and be invited in to the throne room and be able to rule and reign with Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, but for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. In one of the parables, He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What is the joy that He endured the cross for? What is the joy that the one with the five talents are going to enjoy and enter in? It's the joy with his spouse, with the bride of Christ for 1,000 years of ruling and reigning with Him, bringing this earth that you live on right now. We go outside and we kick the dirt, and there's coming a day when this is going to be changed, but it's going to take 1,000 years. I go back in the yard in the church, and I love it back there. I go back and I sit there and I read. And I listen to my peacocks as they sit and they come and they sit down in the grass. And the rabbit and the cat. And all of the animals, I love them. And I'm just thinking about how this place will be one day. I can go, here's a grapefruit tree, here's a key lime tree, here's a lemon tree, here's a lychee tree, here's a fig tree, here's a tangelo tree, here's a navel orange tree, here's a mango tree, here's a tangelo tree, a mulberry tree, and on and on. And I don't know what that other thing is, it's guanabana or whatever it is. Bananas, I get the banana tree. Publix just wish that they had bananas like we got back here. Can you imagine? I mean, we got all of that right here. Can you imagine what it would be like in the millennial reign of Christ? And so Jesus is coming back at the end of that 7 years, and he will put his feet on a Mount of Olives, and things will be different. The Battle of Armageddon will be fought. The angels of heaven will fight that battle. And those that said, let's wipe Israel off the face of the earth, they'll find out that's not going to happen. It's easier said than done. It's not going to happen. And during that 1,000 years from the Battle of Armageddon on, the Lord Jesus is going to be working. And by the way, you and I are right now living our lives, and we're going to be judged according to our works. We are right now preparing, and we are qualifying ourselves to be able to rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years from the second heaven. Satan is ruling from the second heaven right now. And the fallen angels are ruling with him. They're called demons. You've encountered them and just not realized it. Satan is doing all that he can to destroy you as a Christian. And he does not want you to exemplify the Lord Jesus in any way. And if you want to live for Jesus, Satan is going to do everything he can to keep you from doing that. And then there's coming a day. At the end of that 1,000 years, because Satan has been bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, the seal is going to be opened and Satan is going to be released for just a short period of time. And many people who are living on the earth at that time, they've seen the rule of the Lord Jesus. They've seen how the Jewish people, the patriarchs and the apostles and the disciples, and how they have been living, and how they've been governing this earth. And they're still listening to Satan said, well, if you really want to see something fantastic, I'll show you. You just come and put your allegiance to me, and I'll show you what it can really be like. And then there's going to be a judgment. And that judgment is going to be the judgment where those who have aligned with Satan in this life and in that life, they will be cast into the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. But during that 1,000 years, you are now qualifying for one of the positions to be used of the Lord Jesus over the earth, like the angels of Satan, the fallen angels that Satan is using now, and will be ruling from the second heaven. Are you really qualified Have you fallen on your face so many times? Or have you been rebellious and say, oh, come on, I don't believe all that stuff. That's all fairy tale stuff. And you better think again, because you're going to face it once again. And he's going to say, I told you to occupy till I come. I'm here. Show me your works. Show me how you did the work I had for you to do. I had you doing the job that I want you to do now. Because whether we know it or not, there are angels watching over us today. We don't see them. And there's a reason for that. Years ago, 3,500 years ago, 4,000 years ago, angels were visible. 5,000 years ago, God gave his presence, was in his presence. Israel heard him talk to Moses. And they said, Moses, tell God that we don't want him to talk so we can hear him anymore. It's scary. What we would like for you to do is you go and you talk to God and let God tell you what he wants us to know, and then you tell us. But it's scary when he tells us. And so God said, I'll do that. And today, God's given us his word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us his word again through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and holy men of God who wrote God's word as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we have the written word of God. So in the Old Testament, we had the word of God, and it was written. By the way, people think that in the Old Testament, they couldn't read and write or any of the, you read the Bible and find out. And God said, write this down, write it plainly. And over, God told them to write it down. And then the written word became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. And then when he ascended up to heaven, the Holy Spirit of God inspired writers, and they wrote the 66 books of the Bible. And we have the written word of God today. Are you doing what he said for us to do? Read it. His Holy Spirit will impress upon your heart what you need to know. And we need to read God's word. Jesus came in the flesh in the city of Bethlehem as a little baby and lived a perfect life as an example for us. But he gave his word when he left so that we would know what he wants us to do. And we wouldn't be left to guess what we're supposed to do. We know. And these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know him? Have you applied the blood of Jesus to your heart's door? Today you can do that by faith and be on your way to heaven. And then begin getting busy and doing what he's asked you to do in preparation to serve him and serve with him. Serve with him now. Serve with him from heaven over earth in his millennial kingdom. Rather than sitting back for 1,000 years saying, oh man, I wish I'd have done this, I wish I'd have done that. No, don't be wishing, do it. Read God's word. That's the first thing. Saturate yourself with the word of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful in doing the job that you've given us to do. That we would do what you want us to do. And we'll read your word and you give us the instructions on how to do it. You give us the wisdom, you give us the knowledge, you give us the understanding. We pray that you would just help us to look to you for guidance and leadership. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. And you're not sure that if you died right now you'd go to heaven? You need to pray this prayer and by faith accept the blood of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And put by faith the blood of Jesus over your heart's door so that heaven can be your home. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this is the prayer that you need to pray. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. I know that he shed his blood that my sins could be forgiven. And now, by faith, I accept his blood and I apply his blood to my heart's door. Come into my heart and save me. And then, Christian, you say, Pastor, I have applied the blood of Jesus to my heart's door years ago, and I accepted him as my Savior. But there's some things in my life I need to make right. And there's a reason you need to do that, Christian. Because today, you are now applying for a job to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the millennial kingdom of him for 1,000 years. And you need to have your sins forgiven, your daily sins, the sins of your habits. And by faith, we can overcome the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we need to pray, dear God, I know that you're my Savior. I know that I've accepted you as my Savior. And I know that heaven is my home. But I have a hard time obeying. Please forgive me. And help me to have the strength and the courage to overcome the world, so that I can serve with you and you can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant to me at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's in your name I pray. Now, Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity we have in America to open your word and gather together here now. We have those freedoms still available to us today. We don't know how much longer will happen, but we have them today. And I pray that you would help us to be faithful in gathering together and reading your word and listening to your word and talking with you together. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. And as we stand, Gary's going to lead us in a song. And as Gary leads us in a song this morning, do you know for sure that heaven is your home? If you prayed that prayer a few minutes ago, you need to begin to live for him. Do the job he's given you to do.
read God's Word, open God's Word, and listen to what He says in His Word, and do what He asks you to do. Make that commitment as we sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.